Welcome to Building My Legacy Podcast. This podcast is designed for leaders and entrepreneurs who want to leave a legacy and will provide strategies that focus upon key elements for legacy creation, determining your desired impact and its benefit, increasing your legacy's reach by engaging key stakeholders, planning, prioritizing, and executing. Here's your host, Dr. Lois Sonstegard.
Welcome, everybody, to today's Building My Legacy podcast. I have with me today Sam Tanyos. He has a company called Human Elements. And my goodness, today we need human elements in our workplaces, don't we? So he has put together the pieces, some of the pieces that you really need to engage people to have a workplace that works efficiently. And I'm going to have Sam tell us about his company. But first of all, Sam, what got you here and why Human Elements? What drove you to that as a business?
Sure, that's a great question. So very early on in my career, I took on roles that as I was trying to figure out who and what I was, knowing that I was an entrepreneur, but really trying to figure out what that would translate into. I was in management consulting for a little bit, and I'd taken on a lot of other HR roles that are, you know, traditionally HR roles, but not as a traditional HR practitioner. It was while I was with a management consulting firm, and one of the clients that we had was one of the big four consulting firms, and it was interesting to me how they viewed their talent. What they called them, especially the ones that, because we dealt with the ones that they were transitioning out of their organization, and they referred to them as alumni, not ex-employees. And I thought that was really fascinating. So I really kind of dug deeper into what was going on there and discovered really that the efforts that they take to recruit, to onboard, to manage the career of an employee and help them do that, and then help them transition out of the organization. And at the time, this was back in very early 2000s, that they drove somewhere in the neighborhood of about half to three quarters of $1 billion just from alumni referrals, as they call them.
Oh, interesting.
But what a fascinating concept that, you know, you can drive revenue from even your former employees, you know, or in this case, your alumni. And so I started to really kind of look backwards at it and see, well, what other ROI can you generate out of even existing employees? And really, the numbers are pretty staggering. How important employees are. And there was a little axiom that that I had come across that really talked about organizational effectiveness, and that an organization's overall health and success was directly driven by their customers' experience. But the number one driver of their customer's experience was the employee engagement. So the higher the employee engagement, the higher the customer satisfaction and experience, the more revenue that the organization generated. So it's common sense, but it's amazing how many organizations actually don't do that. And so I thought, well, there are a ton of small businesses that can't wrap their arms around this, don't understand what this is all about, because they're just trying to stay in business, trying to make a profit, trying to make their way. And if we can help them understand how to do that, then it makes that task for them significantly easier. So Human Elements was born out of all of that. And so we created an organization to help exclusively small and mid-sized businesses to be able to make those changes within their organization.
So we have a lot of things going on in companies right now. Mm-hmm. We have discussions about the great recalibration, the great resignation, the quiet resignation, the words, the languaging about what's happening in the workplace goes on and on. So do you deal with those kinds of issues? Is that part of what drives people to come to you? Or Or what is it that makes people come and seek out help from a person like you?
Yeah, so that's another interesting question, because I have a little theory on that, and I came up with an evolution of HR within a small business. And generally, the way that it starts is somebody starts off to build a business. They usually are on their own, or they have a partner or two. And the second they hire their first employee, they need to payroll that employee. So they hire a payroll company. And then as they add on more and more employees, the person that enters payroll becomes the de facto HR person, or even worse, if it's one of the owners and it's an ownership team, they do it by committee, which is a death sentence essentially, because now you're really creating a situation where you're not addressing what the needs of your number one asset, your employees, because you don't have the expertise internally, you don't consider it to be a priority. And you really don't know what you're doing, or you give it to somebody that doesn't know what they're doing and they have to figure it out on their own. So that is going to be an issue for a lot of organizations that are smaller, that need to have some sort of foundation that they just don't have. So as the organization continues to evolve, there's a lot of problems that start to build and build and build. And then they finally reach a point where they've got this great resignation. They've got the inability to be able to add new employees, or they can't get employees to stay, or they've got all kinds of angst within the organization. And that's when they usually come to us. And it's usually sort of too late to solve a lot of the existing issues with current employees, unless they're really committed to doing it. So when they get to me, they're still trying to look for that quick fix. What we try to do is help them see the big picture. There are some quick fixes, but it's not a solution. It's not a long-term solution. And I think what's happening right now is a lot of organizations are starting to reevaluate what employees mean to them and how they need to deal with them. And we're teaching clients right now to look at not only their external brand to their customers, but they need to look for an internal brand to their employees. And this is this is something that larger organizations already have adopted, but a lot of smaller organizations are ignoring this kind of thing because they think, well, we're too small. The reality is that you're not too small, because people that come to work for you are buying what you are selling. They're buying your values. They're buying your mission. They're buying your vision. They're buying what you are trying to accomplish within your organization, within your community. They want to be a part of that, especially this workforce now, where we've gone through such a tumultuous period of time, probably the worst that we have experienced since 9/11 within this country. And for many, especially younger generations, it's the first time that they've ever really experienced anything like this before. And it's really traumatic for them. So employers, you've got people in your offices, in your establishments for 8 to 12 hours a day. That's their world, and they want their world to fit and be comfortable for them, and that they want purpose out of their life now that we've gone through so much. People want purpose, and employers used to think, well, that's not my problem. Traditionally, it wasn't. Now, it really, you need to be able to think about it in that way. And I get a lot of pushback between traditionalists and Gen Zs. And traditionalists were, just show up and work. Unfortunately, we don't have that ethic anymore. We have a very different culture now. And people want, now people's personal lives and work lives are intermeshed. There's no separation from them. So they want to be able to carry that on into their workplace. So the quicker that employers are able to adopt those kinds of ideals and address those, the faster that they'll be able to really get the reputation of being a place that people will want to work.
So you look at Gallup's research, engagement levels have gone down this year compared to last year by 1%. Wasn't great before. I think we were 33% before. We're now down to 32%. The scary thing is we're one of the best countries in the world. Europe is down to 14%, for example, in terms of engagement. So we talk a lot about people. And I mean, we've never had so many programs for D&I, right? For inclusion kinds of activities. We've never spent so much time training and defining what is PC in the culture. And yet we have had a dramatic problem with stress. Gallup, you know, his research, stress has gone way up. Depression is up. The amount of percentage of time that a person feels sad during a day has gone way up. So there's a lot of forces that are negatively impacting. So how are you reaching in? And for a small and mid-sized company, those are overwhelming issues. You don't have the personnel, you don't have the bandwidth to deal with that. So how do you come in and help them broaden their vision, get their peripheral vision open to looking and seeing and doing something about that? Because I think you're onto something very, very important for our future.
Absolutely. So I think one of the things that, you know, for our organization, what sets us apart typically is how we engage with the client. And you can't really fly before you crawl. So
true.
You have to be able to build the foundation initially. So there is a level of administrative and operational excellence that you have to achieve within your organization before you can take that next step. And it's not just a matter of, okay, we're going to have a team meeting and this is what we're going to address. It will not be absorbed by the employees in the way that you intend it, you intend for it to. You have to take steps to be able to, it's more or less show me, don't tell me with the employees, if I can be so bold. You have to show that you are taking the measures that you need to take, that you want to take, that employees can see that, okay, now we are a serious organization. So administratively, if you don't have your I's dotted and T's crossed, you're just spitting into the wind. No one's really listening because no one's really taking you very seriously.
Got it.
So when you start to get to that administrative level, and I'm talking about really taking the time to build out policies and procedures of how you go about finding employees, hiring employees, onboarding employees, developing them, training them, giving them a path. Operationally, having the ability to be able to, now we are in a digital age. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. So you have to think of digital transformation. What does that mean? That means that when the time that your employees as candidates engage you, they're engaging you in a digital world and following that path all the way through into your organization. It also gives your employees the ability to be able to self-service the things that they want to self-service. And yet you still need to have that human connection to somebody within the organization for questions and so forth to develop that. So again, it's a combination of the two that gives you that foundation. Then once you have that foundation, once you've reached administrative and operational excellence, then we start talking about tactical and strategic initiatives to grow the organization, to build culture. And that's really where you're going to, now we talk about culture a lot, and what I didn't say in the beginning stages of that administrative and operational excellence is understanding who and what you are as an organization, what your core values are, what your vision is, what your mission is. When you know those things, you can build that into the process. You can build that into the technology. You can build that into your employee manuals and into your recruiting process, into your onboarding process, into your training process. That builds all the foundation. So you're intermingling with your digital transformation, your human transformation. So once that is happening and you've built that foundation, now the strategic and tactical pieces can be now layered on top of how we are going to move forward, how we are going to be part of our community. And I do a lot of talking about, especially to small business owners, about being part of a community, not only the community where you exist, but a community of other small businesses, and understanding that you're part of a community, that you are bigger than what you are. And employees like to embrace that. People just like to embrace the idea that I'm part of something that's bigger than me, bigger than the four walls that I'm in. And that's really a part of it. We have now evolved past the point of being separate in organizations and gotten to the point where we now need to be together. We want to be together. We've gone through a 2.5 year period of being separated, and now we want to be together. People, want to be able to work in a way that's comfortable for them, but still come together. Some people want to like working remotely. Some people want to be in an office. Some people want some combination. And I think that's where we're going to wind up being. But again, it's the foundational elements of that all stem from what you as a business owner establish as core values and a vision and a mission. And it's got to be something that you absolutely 100% believe and that you live by on a daily basis, because that is what's going to set the foundation. That's what's going to set the tone. That's what's going to set everybody in motion. And those are always the things that we work with when we work with our clients. Those are the things that we always do, is want to understand what those core values are and what the vision and mission is, because we're building that into your administrative and operational excellence. And we really take that very, very seriously.
Okay, so I want to bring this down to an operational level. Let's say I'm a small business. I have 8 employees. I'm working 14 hours a day, 6 days a week. I am doing everything. You're bobbing your head, changing hats every hour, taking on a new job, right? So your head is overwhelmed already, stressed. You're taking in and doing an incredible, unbelievable amount of work. So then somebody like you or me comes onto the scene and says, yep, and now you've got employees we need to take care of. And as an employer, your initial response is, well, I take care of them, right? They're getting paid. I give them sick leave. I do this. I do that. They're being taken care of. And you go, well, yes, maybe, and maybe not. So how do you take this kind of person that's very busy, very overwhelmed, stressed, probably lonely, has family issues because of the pressures of business? Probably, I think most, small businesses do. How do we get them to move from that space to sitting down and saying, yeah, I got to do this? Do you come in and do it for them until they can get enough wings to move? Or what's that process for you so people really can buy in?
Sure. So the process for us is, our model is really two components. And I mentioned the digital transformation piece of that. The other part of that is in a fractional CPO or a chief people officer. Highfalutin title, I know, but for small businesses, a lot of them are very comfortable with fractional CFOs, fractional bookkeepers, fractional employees. Same concept.
Got it.
But you're bringing on board on a fractional basis a professional people specialist whose only role is to ensure that you are compliant, that you have a solid foundation, and that you are moving the organization forward. And it doesn't mean that you're going to have somebody that's going to come in and say, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, and being the HR police in your organization. That's not the case. The case is that, there are things that you have to do in order to comply. That's just the rules. We don't make them up. We're going to get you as close to it as possible. But in any sort of compliance situation, I'm kind of letting a little bit of industry cat out of the bag here. You can only do what you can do. And there has to be a level of comfort with some sort of risk, whether it's no risk. I don't want any risk. Okay, then we can do that. But if you are okay with a little bit of risk, then all right, you just have to be prepared for it. You have to understand what that looks like. And you as a business owner who are probably not well-versed in HR are not capable of being able to decide what those risks look like and what you're able to really evaluate. You can't evaluate it. You just don't have the expertise to do that.
Right.
And you're not proactive enough to be able to monitor that. So we take care of the monitoring. We are proactive. You know, being reactive, it causes all kinds of grief for you, and you don't want that kind of stress in your life.
You're right. And I think for many small businesses, you really don't think about HR until you have that first problem. And then you go, oh, what do I do? Where do I go for help? And you generally don't have help in your back pocket. So you're now working with an entity you don't know. You don't know how they're going to address things. And you're flying by the seat of your pants, hoping you won't lose too much.
Correct.
So I love what you're doing from that perspective, because it's like giving small business a flotation device, something that they can hang on to until they get their swimming legs, so to speak. And so the real issue gets to be for small mid-sized business is how is getting them to understand the importance of that, and then being proactive, doing something about it, getting something in place before you need it. It's almost like getting your will in place before you're dead and somebody has to deal with it for you.
Absolutely. Very good analogy, but yes, absolutely.
So, okay. So if somebody's looking for, a company is looking for help with HR, what are five things a company should absolutely have in their consultant?
They need to have somebody that is from the industry. HR is one of those things, very much like accounting. You need to have somebody that you don't want an accountant that has never, only has dabbled in it or something of that nature. You need to have somebody that actually knows what they're doing. You probably are going to need to have that individual be comfortable with doing a lot of the administrative work as well, and look at doing day-to-day operational items as also. So those are going to be some key things. I think that's three things. somebody that can is familiar with the rules and regulations for your state, or knows how to access that information very quickly. Somebody that's well networked, and somebody that understands the technology landscape as well.
Good. So, Sam, you're in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
And do you work outside of Illinois? What's your reach?
We work in all 50 states.
Okay, perfect. So for anybody in our audience that's listening, what a great resource you are for them. And doesn't matter. They can just reach out to you.
Absolutely.
What have we left out, Sam, that is really important for people to think about, to know, that we haven't talked about?
I think the important thing for people to understand is that it's not too late to invest in your employees, and that the ROI is really, really tremendous. And I think a lot of people are getting that, but you have to look at what your business is trying to accomplish. And one of the things that we like to talk to our clients about is, you know, what is it that you want to get out of your business? You want a successful business. You want to be able to go on vacations. Do you want to be able to grow your business to the next level? Do you want to, you know, what does that look like? And you can accomplish any and all of those things, but you can't do it alone. You have to have somebody that to be able to support you. You have to have people that, that are able to support you. The only way to do that is to have a reliable team with you that understands what the goal is, that can make decisions without you having to have to be there. And that's what you want. And that's something that a lot of business owners have to kind of let go of. You don't have to make all the decisions. You can get people that trust you, trust your vision, trust your mission, that can make those decisions based on your core values, and that will get you where you want to be and get you there very, very quickly.
So there's a comfort level, and we're not in a culture, Sam, and I may be wrong in this, but our culture is not a trusting culture. And I think we're trust, you know, if you look, just going back to that Gallup research, trust is going down, down, down by the moment almost.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And
so how are you building that? How do you go in as an as a outsider and start to develop that trust relationship? So somebody goes, yep, I can leave my business and go on vacation and trust that you won't do anything really against my wishes.
So when we start developing the culture within the organization, again, it's enormously important for us to work with, you know, vision, mission, values. And when we are hiring according to those values and the mission and vision, we're establishing that culture. And over time, again, we're not saying, suggesting to the employer, you know, let go of everything immediately once we're here. Your employees have to trust you as much as you entrust you want to trust them. So it's really a two-way street. So, you know, when we're establishing the administrative operational excellence, employees know that, okay, I'm going to be treated fairly. I'm going to be given the tools that I need to be successful. I know somebody's looking out for me. And I know that if I have a question, if I have a problem, if I have an issue, someone's going to advocate for me. Once they know that, then that there you start to build that trust level with those employees. And it continues to build and build and build until your employees start to get to that level where you don't have to make decisions for them anymore. And you'll start to see it when I think one of the telltale signs is an employee will have an issue, and under normal circumstances, they might come to you and say, hey, you know, how do you want me to handle this? Instead, they'll come to you at some point and say, hey, I have this issue. This is how I'm planning on handling it. What do you think? Just to get your feedback. And if they have laid it out for you in a way that you would say, that's perfect. Now you've built that culture of people who are going to be able to do the things that you need them to do without you having to have to tell them how to do it. And that's really the telltale sign. Unfortunately, there's no flipping the switch on anything, and it's off or on. You have to build it. And it doesn't take a lot of time to do that. You know, we're not talking about years and years, but you've got to be able to have the foundation to be able to do it to begin with.
Well, and I'm thinking that with you coming in as an outsider, having these principles deeply ingrained in you, it does speed up the process because you create a consistency that if you're doing it yourself and you're learning the concepts and then you're trying to implement them, there's times you probably do it well. There's times you don't do it well. And so that consistency may take a while to really embed in the leaders. And with you coming in and helping, I think you probably do speed up the process quite a bit.
We do. We do. It's laying the foundation. Again, we're there to help organizations lay that foundation, create that environment, and allow you, the business owner, to be able to run an organization, effectively. And, we're not there to change the way that you do business. We're there to enhance your ability to be able to do it. We're there to, take give you the time back to be able to do it, and give you the mind space to be able to figure it out.
Got it. What else have we missed that we should be talking about?
Gosh, I've always been a small business advocate, and one of the things that I always, and I mentioned it briefly as well, is I'd like to talk about small businesses being advocates for each other and giving grace to each other, because we are all, as small business owners, trying to grow our businesses, and sometimes we make mistakes, and we need to give offer a little grace to those folks that do that. I think that employers also need to give a little grace to the employees as well, and hopefully that their customers will also follow suit. That again, we're giving each other grace because we are just people. We are doing our best, and we are all going through some very, very difficult times. And we've got a lot of demands on each other, but we also need to understand that we are all just people, and we're all just trying to do our best.
And I like that idea of you be a part of a community, because you can't do it alone. And then appreciate what each other is contributing and doing, because it may not be your way. But right. Take a look at what the positives are and appreciate that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, on that note, Sam, we're going to bring this to a close, sadly. It's been delightful having you on this podcast, and we will have information about Sam in the show notes. So those of you who are small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and you are dealing with HR issues, please feel free to contact Sam. HR can be a very difficult place to be if you're in trouble. And so use somebody like a Sam proactively, wisely, and prevent those heartaches that can be there if you don't work proactively. So Sam, thank you so much for being with us on Building My Legacy podcast today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You are welcome. And for those of you who are listening to Building My Legacy podcast today, thank you for being with us. And remember to visit our website at www.buildtomorrowwiththenumber2.com, and also our latest website, startwithcollaboration.com. So thank you very much for being with us.
You've been listening to Building My Legacy podcast with Dr. Lois Sonstegard. To book your appointment with Dr. Sonstegard, visit www.buildtomorrow.com.